Papaya Young Directive.
Today we are hosting a live session with our very special partner at Green, because as probably some of you know, education is a very important part of Papaya Young Directors, and so is taking care of our planet. So that's why we joined forces with AdGreen, which is a UK-based institution, which unites the advertising industry to eliminate the negative environmental impacts of production. So please welcome our guest, Joe Coombs, founder and project director at AdGreen. Thank you so much, Joe, for being with us today and sharing your knowledge. So the floor is yours, and then we will move to the questions our finalists may have.
Sure. So thanks for having me. It's great to meet everybody. And if I'm speaking too fast at any point, just press the raise hand button, because it is something that I tend to do and I want everyone to be able to understand me totally clearly. So just let me know. So thanks for having me. As I said, I'm going to talk through a little bit about what we do at AdGreen and kind of things that you can take away with you. My experience is as a production manager. So I've been where you are now. I was in production for about 10 years. And AdGreen for me was always kind of a side project. It was something I worked on while I was a production manager. Basically, I was seeing a lot of waste and a lot of things. Like, we would do a shoot for a soup brand, for example, and we'd bring in a kitchen and then it would just get thrown away afterwards. And it just seemed totally crazy to me. So I spoke to a few different friends of mine in production and also spoke to the trade bodies in advertising here in the UK, and decided to set something up that might help people who wanted to kind of figure out how to reduce waste. And that grew over the years. And as of last year, AdGreen became a kind of funded project. So it's now actually my job to run AdGreen. We, as I said, work in the advertising industry, and the aim for us is to enable the whole sort of advertising production community to be able to measure and then reduce their environmental impact with regards to production. And the advertising association that we are part of, they have a sort of wider climate strategy called Ad Net Zero, which looks at all different things. But one of the five things they look at is emissions from production. So we're kind of here to support people in the UK advertising community who are trying to reduce their emissions across the board, not just in production, but we're here to support the ones that are looking at production specifically. And we have two aims. So to help the community measure their emissions and then reduce them. So we're currently developing a carbon calculator, and it will be ready in September. And that will be for measuring advertising productions. So whether it's a motion job, a stills job, an audio project like a radio ad, or a live event as well. As long as it's part of an advertising campaign, you'll be able to put it through the tool. And then once that tool's up and running, we're going to add some certification in there as well. So we'd be able to say your production is X, Y, and Z once we've figured out what the criteria for that is going to be. First up is transport. So you can measure trains, planes, cars, boats, helicopters. And that's not just for people. We also in advertising move a lot of product around. So if you can imagine, if we go and shoot, say, in South Africa for a nice car ad, we also need to get the car there as well. And that can also take up a lot of emissions too. Then we look at spaces. So how we power all of those different spaces that I spoke about before. Locations, studios, anything we're using as part of the production. It could be even a casting studio or the equipment rental house. It's kind of finding out how all of those different parts of the puzzle are powered. Next up is materials. So kind of trying to reduce the materials we use as much as possible and reuse items and be able to reuse them again after the shoot as well. So it's thinking about kind of everything that might be left over and how you can reduce it in the first instance or rehome it next. You know, can you give it to some really great charities? And finally, disposal. So that's that 2% we talked about. And that's talking about recycling first and composting and then energy recovery as a kind of hopefully last resort. Those are the sorts of things we cover and that we talk about in our training and in our resources, and that you'll be able to log in the calculator when it launches.
And I wanted to ask, will it be possible to use this carbon calculator while measuring the impact of music video, short films, or other audiovisual formats?
So if it's non-branded content, it should go through the Albert calculator. Ours will be based on. If it's branded content, it should go through AdGreen. So if you're making, you know, there can be very long pieces of branded content these days, that can go through our calculator as long as it's attached to a brand. That's how it would work.
And yeah, I had a question. What is the best starting point while thinking about making more sustainable production?
So I think for us, we would always encourage you to think about the things that are going to have the biggest impact first, which are things you probably need to plan first anyway. So things like the travel and then sort of where you're going to shoot. And really, the waste is definitely a consideration, but it's something you can resolve fairly quickly by, you know, organizing a recycling pickup or a compost pickup from your location or from your office. So it almost follows that the ones that you need to think about first are the ones that are going to have the biggest impact. So we always kind of recommend transport, spaces, materials, disposal in that order. Obviously, on your productions, it depends if you have all of those things. I'd imagine you always have some transport because you're probably going to get some crew or some equipment from somewhere. Unless everyone lives at your location. But, you know, obviously air travel probably won't be relevant, I don't think, for any of your productions in this case. But obviously going forward, you might be working on other things in the future where that's something to think about. And, you know, COVID has really shown us that we can shoot remotely. Certainly in advertising, it's become a massive thing and nobody trusted it before. Whereas now it's kind of a, no one needs to go to that shoot. We can go and, but we can still go and shoot in these amazing locations. You know, we can use great local crew and we can still have them on screen. It doesn't mean we don't have to kind of use these different places and can't do that anymore. So, you know, it's really opened up some different ways of shooting for us as well, which is really good.
And there is one point that that wasn't discussed already, I guess, and it was catering. Because mm-hmm. from my perspective, there is a lot of food that is being wasted on the shoot. It's a issue that should be covered, and you should check the charities or places that may collect the food that is the leftovers from set.
Yeah, and I just add on that as well, if you can, if you know you feel you can, then catering either vegetarian or vegan will have a really big impact on your footprint as well, and I would encourage you to do that if you can.
Yeah, and obviously we are talking about some general tips, because as this workshop lineup we organized for you as finalists, we are really hoping that this knowledge will benefit not only in this one particular competition project, but that we will leave you with the knowledge that you can use in your further project. I wanted to ask you about top things that are most effortless while making more eco-friendly production.
I say definitely not having any meat in your catering. It's pretty simple. You just pick this instead of that. Or if you're, you know, if you're working with a caterer on a larger job, it's as simple as asking them not to provide any meat meals. Next down is kind of your sphere of influence, but you won't be able to change everything on a shoot, you know, on a larger shoot. You might, where it's very small, but things like just asking your suppliers whether they're running on a renewable energy tariff is a really good question to ask, because although they might not be able to change for your particular job, if you're able to make that known that that's important to you, and if enough people do that, the tide starts to turn. So I definitely think about how you can use your influence as well as the things that you can actually do, because it's very easy to ask that question and it can be asked of everyone you're working with.
Actually, I'm thinking about one thing, which is maybe a common myth, that more sustainable production is actually more expensive one. And is it true?
This is my favorite question, Kasia. I get asked this all the time. And I would say, generally speaking, it's not true. Generally speaking, if you remove something that's quite carbon heavy, you're probably taking out a chunk of the cost. But of course, you need to understand first what things are most carbon intensive. So having a tool really helps, because it will show you where the biggest things are. Some people choose to engage with specific sustainability consultants, or perhaps hire a runner to sort of monitor bins or whatever it might be. So in that sense, yes, there's an added cost there, but obviously that's totally up to you. And it depends, you know, if you feel the time, you have the time to sort of implement lots of things, or if you want to pass it on to someone else. All of our resources are designed for everyone to kind of feel empowered and do their own part rather than kind of passing it on to someone else. But that's totally everyone's call and anyone can do what they want there. But that would be an extra cost. But generally speaking, you know, it's very difficult to see where the extra costs would be when you're reducing carbon, because generally you're taking something away that would cost money. You know, even if you're, you know, going paperless, for example, paper costs money and you're not using it. Ink in the printer costs money and you're not using it. So, you know, there's lots of different things. Obviously, you need some kind of device to view it on, but most people, you know, 99% of people have some kind of device to view things on these days. So that's not really an issue.
Okay, so thank you so much, Jo, again for doing this with us. And I hope that this knowledge will be helpful for you, and you will keep in your mind that it's extremely important to remember about all of this stuff. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks to everyone for having me and letting me speak in English. And good luck with all of your projects. I hope they all go really well.